Bibles, please, and let's open them together to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, this morning we begin the final chapter of this great letter. And our text for today is about what Christ wants us to be as we wait for His coming. And the answer is be sober, be sober. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Now, this section of Scripture is about the times and the seasons. If you look at verse 1 of chapter 5, it says, but concerning the times and the seasons. But the central truth here is essentially that this is not the time and this is not the season to be asleep, spiritually speaking. This is the time to be sober. So twice in the center of this text, Christ commands all His followers, be sober. End of verse 6, be sober. Beginning of verse 8, be sober. This is the time for us as believers in Jesus Christ who are expecting Him to come again at any time. This is the time for us to be sober. And two main questions in connection with that truth are being addressed in the text. Two questions. The first is, why? Why is this the time for us to be sober? You'll notice at the beginning of verse 6, it says, therefore, which tells you that verses 1 through 5 are giving reasons to be sober. And we will see three reasons in verses 1 to 5 for why every Christian needs to be sober today. And then the second question is, what does that mean exactly? What does it really mean to be sober? Does that mean don't drink any wine, even if for your stomach? Does that mean if you live in Italy and wine is part of the drink, you can't ever drink? Well, it's talking about being sober, spiritually speaking. And so we're going to find three answers to the question, what does it mean to be sober, in verses 6 through 10. So why and what? That's our outline for today. Why is it that all Christians are called to be sober, and what does that mean exactly? Let's jump in. Why does Christ call us twice in this passage to be sober? Reason number one, because the day of the Lord is coming like a thief in the night. Verses 1 and 2. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, stop there. That little phrase, times and seasons, should sound familiar. If you recall, just after Jesus Christ had risen from the dead, and just before He was ready to ascend into heaven, His disciples said to Him in Acts 1:7, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And here was Christ's answer. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. Now, the word for times is the Greek word chronos, from which we get chronology. And times refers to when. Okay? When are we going to get there? And how long are we going to stay? The kids cry out on the trip, you know, in the back of the car. When are we going to get there? And how long are we going to be there? That's times. That's chronology. And seasons is a different word, and it's kind of time. What's it going to be like when we get there? Times and seasons, when Christ uses that phrase in Acts 1:7, and when Paul uses it here in 1 Thessalonians 5, times and seasons refers to the timing of end times events and the nature of end times events. When is everything going to happen, and what is it going to be like? Jesus told his disciples in Acts 1:7, it's not for you to know. Really. Now, some things have been revealed to us. But essentially, he was saying, listen, God is sovereign over the times and the seasons. And it's not for you to know just yet when everything is going to happen or what every phase is going to be like. Well, notice what Paul says here in verse 1 of chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians. But concerning the times and the season, brethren, and probably they had written to him with questions concerning the times and seasons, so he's answering. And he says, concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. Why not? Because, verse 2, you yourselves know perfectly. You already know full well, essentially, you know full well what you need to know. And here's what you need to know. The day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. This is his reason for why you don't need me to write to you about the times and the seasons. I don't need to tell you the timing of things that's coming up. And I don't need to tell you the nature of what's about to happen. Because the day of the Lord is coming, and it's coming like a thief in the night. Let me take a quick survey, show of hands. And I know the answer to the first one because we just sang songs. First question, how many of you have heard that the Lord is coming again? Very good. Second question. How many of you are aware that none of us knows exactly when? Very good. Third question. How many of you know that when the Lord comes again, it will mean for some judgment and for others deliverance? Very good. Very good. Final question. How many of you know that Christ commands his followers to be ready, be ready, be ready? Then concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should speak to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. And you already know that you are called to be sober, to be ready, to be alert, awake, attentive, to the things of God, so that when Christ comes, you're not caught off guard. Reason number one why Christ calls us to be sober is because the day of the Lord is coming like a thief in the night. Now, Paul does not go into details here about exactly what the day of the Lord is. I also am not going to go into details. The day of the Lord is a phrase that was repeated by the prophets 19 times in the Old Testament, probably most notably by Joel, but it's in many of the Old Testament prophets. So I'm not going to go into all those details. We're not going to look up all those passages. But I did find a very concise and precise description of the day of the Lord. It's in a commentary by D. Edmund Hebert. He's probably my favorite commentator on 1 Thessalonians. And here's what he says. The day of the Lord is an Old Testament prophetic term that was used by some of the prophets like Isaiah, Joel, and Zephaniah to denote the day when God will intervene in history to vindicate his chosen people, destroy their enemies, and establish his kingdom. As a day of judgment, it is a day of sorrow for the wicked, but a day of deliverance and joy for the righteous. It is inaugurated by the rapture, followed by the tribulation, and consummated by the establishment of Messiah's reign. Now, interestingly, the question that gets most talked about when it comes to the day of the Lord or the rapture or end times events is the question, when? When? The answer that God has chosen to give us to that question is like a thief in the night. When does the thief in the night come? At night, but you don't know. Suddenly. Expectedly. Unexpectedly, right? Suddenly, unexpectedly, without any advance warning. He doesn't knock first. He doesn't ring first, right? And he comes in the night to those who are not ready. Notice, again, you yourselves know perfectly, as in fully well, that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. There's a second reason why Christ calls us to be sober, and that is that day will mean sudden destruction for those who are in the dark. I'll say that again. Another reason for us to be sober is that day will mean sudden destruction for those who are in the dark. Look at verse 3. For when they say peace and safety, now stop there. Who is they? It doesn't say. It's those who are saying peace and safety, and perhaps promising peace and safety. It's people who are deceived concerning the times and the seasons. It is people who think that they can promise and declare peace and safety, that's our future. Now, what did Jesus say would characterize the last days? Peace and safety? No, that Jesus promised exactly the opposite. Wars and rumors of wars, right? And that's exactly what we have. Wars and rumors of wars. And danger, danger, danger. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines and tribulations. And these are only the beginnings of sorrows. Mark 13:8. People who are deceived think that we're just awaiting this grand peace and that things are going to be safe. And they even think that they can promise that. When it says, when they say peace and safety, they could be deceivers who have a false message. A message that talks about how they can bring about peace and safety. And by the way, did you know that there are conferences going on these days that talk about how ecumenism is the answer for how we can have peace and safety on the earth? If we would just bring all the world's religions together, there are conferences sold out. People love to hear the message, peace and safety. Notice what this says. For when they say peace and safety, then. When everyone's calling out peace and safety, when everybody's promising peace and safety, when everyone's saying let's all come together and we can establish peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them like what? Like labor pains upon a pregnant woman. A woman, I'm sorry. Any of you who have been a pregnant woman know how labor pains come. Like that. Next thing you know, what's the matter? Oh, this is it. My wife would be glad to tell you what I said when she said that, right? And I said, it's probably something you ate. And she said, it's not something I ate. Don't say that, by the way, guys. It's just a hint. Don't say it's probably something you ate if she's 9 months along and she's, ooh. Say, let's go, honey, with your ready bag. But the day of the Lord is going to come suddenly, and upon those who are in the dark and who are deceived and aren't ready for it, sudden destruction will come upon them like labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. What won't they escape? Sudden destruction. There will be no way to escape. They are not prepared. They are not ready. They're like the virgins in the story, the parable in Matthew 25, I think it is, the beginning of the chapter, right? Not ready. And Jesus kept saying, with all those parables in Matthew 24 and 25 and Mark 13 and Luke's gospel, all those parables are, be ready, be ready. The third reason why Jesus calls us to be sober, not only is the day of the Lord coming as a thief in the night, and not only will it mean sudden destruction for those who aren't ready, but third, and here's the real clincher, you are not in the dark. We just did a survey. You know it's coming. And therefore, you should be sober. Verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in the darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, you've been told the truth. You know that Jesus is coming again. You know that he's coming suddenly, unexpectedly. You know that nobody knows when it is. So you of all people have no excuse to be like someone who is asleep. Verse 5, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We're not of the night. We're not of the darkness. Now, to be a son, what does that mean? You are sons of light, sons of the day. To be a son of someone or something had three ideas. It meant to be born of that thing or that person. It meant to share the same nature of the thing or the person. And it meant to be an heir of, right? If you're the son of Frank, then you were born of Frank, right? You share the same nature as Frank, and you're an heir of Frank, okay? Well, what does this mean? This is your sons of light and sons of the day. Well, it means you are born of light, you share the nature that you are light, and you are an heir of the light. And all three of those ideas are expressed in the New Testament. You have been born again by the word of truth, James 1 says. You've been born of the light. You've been born of the truth. Also, you have the nature that you are light in this dark world, right? You are the light of the world, Matthew 5. You are light shining in the darkness, Philippians 2 and Ephesians 5. Also, you are an heir of the light. Colossians 1:12 says, the Father has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So the simple idea here is, you're not in the dark. You are not of the dark. Your nature is different. You've been changed. You've been born again of the light. You're an heir of the future light. Don't live like you're in the dark. You, brethren, are not in the dark about the day of the Lord or about the fact that it means sudden destruction for those in darkness, and therefore be sober, be sober. So what does that mean exactly? Notice verse 5. He says, but you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We're not of the night. We're not of darkness. Therefore, verse 6, in light of these realities, in light of these truths, what truths? That the day of the Lord is coming like a thief in the night. That day will mean sudden destruction for those in the dark. That you, believers in Jesus, are not in the dark, but you are sons of the light. Therefore, let's not sleep as others do. Notice he does not say, let's not sleep. Praise the Lord. Right? Because we sleep, and we need sleep, and we need naps. And God is not against naps. He's not against sleep. He's not against a full night's sleep. Praise the Lord. He says, let's not sleep like others do. Well, how do they sleep? This is speaking spiritually. And the little illustration with Emma Joy sleeping or pretending to be asleep is an illustration or a picture of not awake, not alert, not attentive, not active, not ready. All those ideas are there, right? Sleep here is a picture of what you don't want to be when Jesus is coming. You don't want to be not awake to the things of God. You don't want to be not alert to His interests. You don't want to be not attentive to the things of God. You don't want to be inactive, right? You don't want to be unprepared for the coming of Christ. So what does it mean to be sober? Number one, it means to be not spiritually asleep. Let's not be spiritually asleep like others do. Are there people living their lives as though Jesus is not coming again? Yes. And it's probably the vast majority of people who live around us. They're not living in light of the coming of Jesus Christ. They're living, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. We got nothing to fear, nothing to worry about, peace and safety. We don't want to live like that. It's basically saying, don't be like those who are not alert, inactive, inattentive, idle, insensitive, dull. Be the exact opposite. Verse 6, but let us watch and be sober. In other words, let us constantly be watching for the return of Christ. Let us be actively preparing for His coming by faithfully doing what He's called us to do. Let us watch and be sober. Spiritually alert, attentive. So what does it mean to be sober? It means to not be spiritually asleep. And second, it means to not be spiritually intoxicated or spiritually drunk. I didn't ask one of the children to pretend that they were a drunken person. Good thing, right? But we've seen, and some of us have been, in that state. It's not much better than being asleep. It's only slightly better, right? Are they awake? Yeah, he's awake. Is he alert? Not very. Is he active? Yeah, but not in a good way. Is he attentive? Not very. Is he ready? Definitely not. So they are the same in that neither the sleeping person nor the drunken person is ready. And so Paul says, verse 7, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. Now the point here, he's using a literal reality to talk about something spiritual, and his point is those who are spiritually asleep and those who are spiritually drunk are doing things that are characteristic of those who are at night, of those who are in the dark. But if you're a true Christian, then you're not of the night, right? You're of the day. You want to do things that are characteristic of the daytime. So verse 8, he says, but let us who are of the day be sober. What does it mean? Don't be spiritually asleep and don't be spiritually drunk. Third thing that it means essentially is be spiritually equipped for battle. You want to be like someone who's a warrior. You want to be on the alert. You want to be fully dressed in clothing that prepares you for the battle that lies ahead. Verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, and here's what it means, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So what does it mean to be sober? It means not spiritually asleep, not spiritually drunk, but spiritually clothed for the coming of Christ, spiritually ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Notice what he says, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, verse 8, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. The breastplate and the helmet, that's, who wears that? Warriors, soldiers, people equipped for battle and looking forward to the battle being over. Right? In other words, be a warrior. Clothe yourself in what's needed to live through the battle that's ahead. Protect your heart and your head. Put on the breastplate of faith. It means clothe yourself with a complete confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourself with complete trust in who He is and what He's done and what He has said. This is not the time or the season for doubting. This is not the time or season to be departing away from Christ and the truth. Put on the breastplate of love. Clothe yourselves with fervent love for Christ and the brethren. This is no time for isolating yourself. This is no time for forsaking the assembly, as is the manner of some. For whom is that the manner? The manner of those who aren't ready. The manner of those who are like a person who's spiritually asleep or spiritually drunk. This is not the time for isolating yourself. This is the time for putting on the breastplate of fervent love for the brethren. And put on the helmet of hope. Notice the breastplate protects your heart. The helmet protects your head. What is the protection for your head? The confident expectation that our salvation is near. The confident expectation that soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Why should we do that? Why should we be sober? Again, we're back to the why question. Verse 9, because God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice, you see the word appoint? Appoint. Who appoints? God appoints. God is sovereign over the whole thing. God is sovereign, and praise God that He is, and that in His sovereignty, He has appointed something wonderful for us. He has appointed us not to wrath, but to obtain salvation, as in eternal deliverance. Amen. From sin and death and hell. And eternal salvation into something, not just from. God has appointed us to eternal salvation into His blessed eternal kingdom. You say, well, how can it be that God has appointed us to that? Answer, through our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 9. This is the gospel, right? God appointed us to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. So that what? Take a look. Verse 10. Who died for us so that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Now let me tell you briefly what this doesn't mean. It does not mean that He died for us so that whether we listen to Him or not, whether we obey Him or not, doesn't even matter. Some people take this to mean that He's now denouncing what He just said, that it really doesn't matter if we're sober. It really doesn't matter if we're awake. That's not what He's saying. He's reminding of what He said at the end of chapter 4, right? He just said the same thing at the end of chapter 4. Verse 15, this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. That means those who have died before us, right? For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. He's using that same picture. And in verse 10, he's saying, Christ died for us, for all believers, that whether we are awake when he comes again, or whether we are asleep, meaning whether we have died before he comes again, all of us will live together with him. This is the good news. That all believers in Jesus Christ will be gathered together with him when he returns to deliver us. Verse 11, therefore, in light of these things, and here again is part of what it means to be spiritually sober, comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. This is actually called a full-time ministry. Be constantly encouraging one another while you wait for Jesus to come again. Be constantly building one another up. Why should we be constantly encouraging one another? Why? Because we need encouragement. We need encouragement to keep going while we wait for Christ to come. Why do we constantly need to be building one another up? Because we all are in need of strength. This is saying that God does not want any of us to fall away. God does not want any of us to fall asleep. God does not want any of us to become spiritually drunk. He wants us to be sober. How do we do that? We help each other. God's plan is not for one accountability partner. God's plan is for an accountability family, the accountability church. And all of us are called to be constantly encouraging each other and constantly building each other up. Notice the last line. Just as you also are doing. Beloved, I speak to you the way Paul spoke to them. I know it's not like you aren't doing these things, but the whole idea of 1 Thessalonians is that you would blank, blank, blank. Excel still more. Right? So keep doing what you're doing, but do it even more. Do it even better. If you notice someone is not in the assembly, you should be calling that person. I spoke to someone recently who said only two people have called me, even though I've missed three Sundays. That's not good. Now, I encouraged that person and said, well, they come to me and they ask me, you call. You get a list of phone numbers. If you see someone's not here, you go after them. You call them. Hey, where have you been? How are you doing? Are you okay? I'm worried about you. Please don't let it be that the only person who calls those who are missing is Dan and Jerry and me, and maybe one or two others. Show up. Be here. Encourage the people around you. Be constantly building one another up. Be sober. Why? Because the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night, and it will mean sudden destruction for everyone who's not ready. So in other words, be ready. Finally, for those of you who are here this morning, and maybe you're asleep, wake up. Maybe you're drunk, sober up. And I mean that spiritually speaking. Maybe spiritually speaking, you have not been sober. You have not been alert. You have not been attentive. You know what? This should be a wake-up call. This is a warning, because those who are caught unaware, says sudden destruction comes upon them and they will not escape. This should be a wake-up call for you to fear and to be prepared. And for any who are here this morning who don't have Christ, I tell you, that one verse in here should strike fear in your heart. If you don't have Christ, the only thing that awaits you is sudden destruction, and that means sudden destruction away from the Lord. But there is hope. And the hope for you is Christ. He is the only way out of that sudden destruction. I pray that today for you would be a day of turning to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your words of encouragement and exhortation. We thank you for your warnings and your reminders. Father, I pray for everyone in this flock that we would be a sober-minded people, that we would be a serving-minded people, that we would be a spiritually alert, spiritually awake, watchful people. I pray it in Jesus' name.